Let's take our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's good to see work that Brother Caleb has done and what God's helped him with, and just to see some results. It's a real blessing, real encouragement. God can allow you to do that as well. That's the thing. We're going to read the first 9 verses in 2 Corinthians 12. I want to share with you a message that God kind of gave me while I was in Thailand in December of last year. I had some messages all ready to go, and I was I didn't preach at the conference, but I was preaching after the conference. And in that time between conference and preaching, God gave me this message, which I was able to do on the run and been able to redo for tonight. So let's read from verse 1. It says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. For that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for church tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the songs we've been able to sing and the video we've been able to watch, and just the encouragement of what you're doing and still doing in our world through just individuals who have surrendered themselves to serve you. Lord, that it's men and women that you've called, and you're doing a great work. Please help us to learn and be encouraged and be challenged tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this passage, I thought I'd try and just break it down, but in this passage we see the Apostle Paul revealing that he, through the allowance of God, is privy to certain revelations by the way of certain visions. Paul being very cautious about how he shares this information so as not to look like he is boasting to others. I want you to think about that. If God had allowed you to see some things, you'd want to tell people. And I don't know about you, I think it's a natural thing that if God showed you something unique, you would feel very privileged, and you would feel maybe even a little bit above everybody else because God has given it to you. And he also didn't want to be seen to be of any importance about what he had learned. So Paul shares that God has, as you read through, that God has allowed a thorn in his flesh that would assist in Paul not exalting himself. It seemed to be a physical condition that he asked God to take away, but the Lord said it was good for him to have this condition. And even though it caused Paul some problems, he was thankful for it, because he makes the statement in verse 9. He says, "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God's power was on Paul, not because of who he was, but because of who God is. The focus of this passage is not on the power of the one who receives the visions, but rather the one who has given the visions. There is no doubt that if I was to ask you who is one of the most famous Christians that you know in the Bible, Paul would probably be one of the first men that you would speak about. He was probably one of the most effective and most powerful Christians that has ever lived. I want to share with you tonight, I want to encourage you tonight, that you too can be a powerful Christian as well. Being a powerful Christian doesn't have anything to do with your age, doesn't have anything to do how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't have anything to do with how much money that you have or how educated you are. But you can be a powerful Christian. Before we get into it, I want to draw your attention, I guess, to something that helps me. When Jesus says in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I often think about myself every time that I get to, I guess, do anything for the Lord, especially preaching. I'm reminded that I can't do it of myself. The very moment I think, well, I can do it, I'm number one, or I'm the best at it, I'm the most experienced at it, then there's a problem. But I'm just a simple guy. My preaching, as you know, is a lot more simple than our pastor's preaching. But in my weakness, God is made strong. God gives me the strength to do it. So you can be a powerful Christian, and I'm going to give you four reasons why. I'm not so much going to tell you how to become a powerful Christian. I think God will give you the strength to do that. But I'm going to give you four reasons why you can be a powerful Christian. The first thing, the reason why you can be a powerful Christian, is because you have a powerful master. You serve a powerful God. Without him, there is no power in your life. The Bible says in Psalms 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." The same God that we read in the Bible, who does all the amazing things, that same God is our God tonight. He's the one that we are representing. I want you to think about Brother Caleb Wilson as he was sharing it, as he went from place to place, from island to island. He didn't go there and say, "Hey, look, my name's Brother Caleb. You need to follow me. Have a look at my boat. Have a look at my team. We're the real deal." It wasn't that. What he did say was, "Let me share with you about my powerful master, what he has done, what he can do, what he's done in our lives, and what he wants to do in your life." I want you to remember that your powerful master is the creator of all things. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The God that you serve is the very God that created everything. We often take that for granted, just that statement, that God created everything. If you've been through Sunday school, you're taught it in Sunday school. It's one of those very first things that you learn as a new Christian, that God, about creation, how God created everything. And I think we just get so used to it that we forget its significance and its importance. God is powerful because he's created everything. I want you to think, anything that you can create or put together, you can. Some of you might be good at woodwork or maybe metalwork, or some of you guys, I'm terrible. In my family, whenever there's a flat pack, Mrs. Haycock does all of that. I look at, even with the instructions, I look at it for 30 minutes and I say, "Laurel, come and help." And 20 minutes later, it's done, completed. I'm not that sort of guy. But every now and then I will accomplish something, I will do something, and it's very small, but it's big for me, and I feel fantastic about it because I'm able to accomplish something that I wasn't able to do before. But we serve the God who has created, put everything together, and he's your God. And because of him, that is the reason why you can be a powerful Christian. In Romans 1:18-20, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The very fact that you see the creation around you proves that God created it, but it also shows his great and immense power. You can become a powerful Christian because you have a powerful master. God is the creator of all things. I want you to think also, as you read through your Bible, there are many different stories, real life things, that God is the controller of the impossible. There's nothing that God cannot do. Think about the people of Israel coming out of Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea. Something that we would say, and the world says, is physically impossible, but the very God that you serve, the powerful God that you serve, is the one that was able to do that. Think about the walls of Jericho, how they came down. Again, it would seem impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. He's in control of all of those things. I really love the story of Elijah at Mount Carmel, how he was able to confound and defeat the other prophets and those who stood against God, and God was able to bring fire from heaven and catch on fire something that was completely wet and really in our mind would be impossible to do, but in God's mindset, very possible. What about David when he defeated Goliath? God was in control. What about Daniel in the lion's den? God was in control. God is in control of the impossible because he's a powerful God. We have a powerful master and we serve him. God is the creator of all things. He's the controller of the impossible. But God is the connector of power in your life. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can stand before you this evening because of God who works in me. I can do it through Christ who gives me the strength. I'm not as educated as some. I struggle reading. It's not that I can't read. I think I can read well. I just struggle with the fact of reading. Others say, oh, I read this book this week and read that book last week. I'm up to my 50th book this month. And I'm like, I couldn't even listen on an audio tape or on a whatever podcast. My brain just doesn't, it just doesn't do that. It just doesn't have the capacity to stay here and read. But God gives me the strength and the power to do what he needs to do through me. God is the connector of the power in your life. If God wants you to do something, God will give you the power to do it. If you, the times that you think you can't do it, that's good because God can do it. Isn't it strange that it seems to be that God chooses the people that we least expect to go on and do something? We might find someone who's flash and who has the clothes and who has the car and who has the charisma and who seems to be a great orator. And we often think that's got to be the person, the next pastor that we're going to send out. That's going to be the one that's going to go and do great things. And yet it may be if that's what God wants. But often it seems to be just the person that may not look like the one that's going to be that. And God will choose that person and God will enable and equip and power because it's God through them, not themselves. So number one reason why you can be a powerful Christian is because you have a powerful master. The number two thing, the reason why you can become a powerful Christian is because you have a powerful message. Romans 1:16 says, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We have a powerful message. I like what I saw in Brother Caleb's video. He went and they preached. Imagine that. Imagine being able to go somewhere and we're just going to preach. "Will you allow us to preach?" And they obviously said, "Sure, we'll let you. We'll give you a spot to stand." And they just started preaching. They sang and they shared, and they told them about the message of Jesus Christ. Did you notice what the report was? 5 got saved. 2 got saved. 6 got saved. Some got baptized. This happened. We were able to disciple. We were able to teach. And what an amazing testimony of what God's message can do. Did you know, as I mentioned before, you can do that as well? There's no reason why you cannot tell others about Jesus Christ, because it's not you that is converting them. It's not you that is convincing them. It is you that is sharing a powerful message. You're just sharing. That's all God requires of you to do, is to tell others about Jesus Christ. Tell others about the message found in the Word of God. That's it. You have a powerful message. It is a transformer of lives. It's a transformer of lives. If you think about the life of the Apostle Paul, his transformation, it was a great change. We have someone who was very well educated, who was very passionate, who was very strong-willed, was very strong-minded, had a lot of authority to do what he was doing, and someone who persecuted the church at that time and was trying to stop the very gospel of Christ going forward. But then when he met Christ, his life was transformed in such a way that the very thing that he was trying to stop now becomes the very thing that he has promoted. Each one of us here, if you are born again this evening, have a story of some way, each one of us have a testimony of when Jesus Christ met you and saved you, and you have a testimony of a life that was once this way and is now this way. Each of us have unique, our own individual stories of what Jesus did in your life and in my life. Some of us had family issues. Some of us had great sin issues. Some of us were brought up in Christian homes. Some of us are first generation Christians. I'm a first generation Christian. In my family, we were not churchgoers. We were not church attenders. I wasn't taught from a child about the things of God. It wasn't until I was into my high school years before I even knew about God, I even understood or even the concept of God. But someone shared a simple message which, when I understood what it meant, showed great power and transformed my life. You think about the Gadarene maniac. I think of different people in the Bible who had a life of uncontrollableness, a life of demon possession, and when he met Jesus, the next thing you see was that he was sitting at his feet and in his right mind. Many lives have been transformed, not because of the person sharing, not because of the person's talent, not because of the person's skill, not because of the person's education, but because of the message that was shared with them. The message of the gospel is powerful because it's a great changer of lives. But it's also a great convictor of lives as well. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing center of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Have you ever had times where you've, especially at church, it happens for me all the time. Maybe I'm so wicked and sinful. But I'm sitting in church all the time, and it's like, as I'm hearing the Word of God and reading the Word of God, it's like the conviction all the time. "Paul, you need to do better. Paul, you are a wicked sinner, Paul." But it cuts deep if you allow the Word of God. I'm glad when God says to share the message or to share with others, I'm glad God never said, "Now I want you to work out great stories and try and trick them or convince them," because I would fail. I'm glad all God says is share with them the message and what's happened to you. It's very simple. The word of God is what convicts the heart. It's a convictor, it goes very deep. But then the word of God, it is very powerful, and it's a great corrector as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is so powerful that it not only can change people's life, it convicts, but it's also a great corrector. This is what this message does. It isn't just a fanciful story. It's something that is real, and it's something that affects the life. The Bible mentions that the Bible is like a mirror. As we read it, we start to see ourselves, our sinful condition, our lost condition, even our spiritual condition before a holy God. And as we read the Word of God, and as we let it be a part of our life more and more, God starts to show and convict and challenge and do the work that is needed in our life. Notice it isn't pastor that does the conviction. It isn't pastor that does the correction. It's not pastor that does the challenging. It's not pastor that does the changing. But it's the message found in the Word of God that does all that. It does take someone to deliver it. It does take someone to speak it. It took Brother Caleb and his team to go out in a boat for hours and for days upon the high seas even, and trust God that they would get there safely, but obviously they did. And they shared a simple message. These are people that may not have ever heard about God or Jesus Christ, and they simply told what God had done. And it's the power of the Word of God that does the transforming. You have that powerful message, and that's why you can be a powerful Christian. Are you starting to see the pattern here? You can't be a powerful Christian because of you, but you can be a powerful Christian because of God. Paul had these visions, and it wasn't because of that or because of in himself that he was anything or was able to do anything. He says, look, it's because of God. It's God's given it to me. I'm weak. I can't boast in it. But the power of God rests upon me because of what he has done. So you have a powerful master. You have a powerful message. But then you also have a powerful mission. You have a powerful mission. Brother Andrew said to me, do you have a missions message? Or is it just Paul on missions night? I said, it definitely can be mission-minded. You have a powerful mission. Let's have a look in John chapter 13. John 13, verse 34 and verse 35. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You have a powerful mission. We know in the Bible, God has always commanded that we're to love others. The Bible says that in Leviticus 19 and verse 18, it says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of the people, but thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, I am the Lord. God had always set out that man is supposed to love other people. But in the Old Testament, God said you should love your neighbour as yourself. So as you would want yourself to be treated, as you do treat yourself, that's how you should treat others. As you love yourself, you are supposed to love others. That is our mission. But God gives a new commandment in John. He reinforces that love for other people, but he's going to give you a new way to love which you will find when you do it correctly and do it willfully, and you do as God wants you to do, you're going to set the powerful message and the powerful mission together, and you're going to explode with Christian power. And I'll explain what I mean. God gives a new commandment. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. It doesn't say as you love yourself. You love one another as I have loved you. He now starts to change it. It's still loving other people. He wants you to love others, but instead of just loving others the way you love them, or sorry, the way that you love yourself, he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment, that you should love others the way that Christ has loved you. How has Christ loved you? Sacrificially. He's loved you by giving everything up that he had. He was right to have, had the authority to have, and he said, I'm going to leave that. I'm going to leave heaven, and I'm going to come down as a man, God in the flesh, and I'm going to pay the penalty for your sins. I'm going to sacrifice myself for you with no thought of what I want, but I'm going to sacrifice myself for you. Now, if you can take a hold of that and understand that, it sends a powerful message. Love like Christ loved. We need to, it's something that it isn't easy to always do. It needs to be a choice that you make. Someone rubs you the wrong way. Someone says something to you. Someone annoys you. Someone cuts you off in the traffic. Someone, whatever it is, we need to choose to love them the way Christ loved, sacrificially. It sends a powerful message. It says there in verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When you start to live that way, when you start to love others the way Jesus loves you, when you start to be sacrificial in your love, with no thought of your own gain, with no thought of how it's going to benefit me, but you decide, I'm going to love that person, I'm going to do something for that person, I'm going to care for that person, I'm going to listen to that person because that's what Jesus does for me. When you start to do that, they recognize that your love is very different than what they see in the world. What they see in their workplace, what they see in their sporting clubs, what they see in their friendship groups, Most people tell them, yeah, you just go for yourself. Yeah, you just trust yourself. You just promote yourself. You just go for you. Yeah, just love it. But we show them something different, and all of a sudden, when you combine that with the Word of God, with the powerful message that you have, can you imagine if Brother Caleb decided to go? Now, we weren't there, so I'm going to make some assumptions, knowing what we know about Brother Caleb. But can you imagine if he turned up on the boat and he said, okay, I want to share with you about the Bible. And he said, and he started to go, we're going to need a bit of a feast first. You're going to have to come and serve us. And I want you to sit down, and we're a lot better than you guys. And this is the way he portrayed himself. He says, now I want to tell you about the Bible because you're all rotten, wicked sinners. You need to get saved. Do you think that would have had much effect? But if he shares with kindness and shows compassion and shows real love and maybe sacrifices and gives to them and is kind to them that they've never experienced before, that along with the message now becomes very, very powerful. And people start to get saved. And people start to understand. And God convicts. And all Brother Caleb is doing is just doing what God wants him to do. Just sharing the message, but loving sacrificially, because he's given up everything to go and do that particular ministry. All men will know that you're my disciple if you have loved one to another. So we have a powerful master, we have a powerful message, we do have a powerful mission. The last one is we do have, or we should have, a powerful mindset. In John chapter 13, we're already there, in we'll read verse 35 again. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. The powerful mindset that we have to have is when we trust Jesus as our Saviour, we are now one of his disciples. That's our mindset. I'm going to listen to what God has for me. We were in our life group this morning, and Brother Michael brought the class today, and he shared some things, and that was very encouraging because there were some things that he'd mentioned or some verses that he had shared that I had never put two and two together about a particular subject. And it was very encouraging. It was good for my mind as a disciple of Jesus Christ to hear the word of God explained and understood. Now, I could have had the mindset, oh, I already know all that. But as a disciple, I need to learn. The older I get, the more I'm realizing I don't know. I need to learn. I need to be taught. And if we have that powerful mindset that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ and I need to learn, then I think you're on the right track. You'll learn what God wants you to learn. When we do that, we start to grow in confidence as we see God working not only in us, but the more we learn, the more we can share, and God working in other people's lives as well. The mindset we need to have is, I'm not all there yet. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. But the other part of the mindset that will help you to be a powerful Christian is that the mindset is we give all praise unto the Lord. This builds a greater love for God. So I wonder how you consider yourself tonight. What sort of Christian are you? Do you see yourself as a powerful Christian? Or do you just see yourself as you just come to church and you don't? We often shy away from the word power because we often think of power being maybe like a Pentecostal power. But you have everything at your disposal to be one of the most powerful Christians that have ever walked this earth. Don't be frightened of that. Don't be scared of it. Because it's not about you, it's about God. It's God that gives the power. I'm just a weak man. I wish I had some of the knowledge of Brother Michael. He's got some. I don't mean to build you up, bro, but sorry, Brother Phil. You're doing great too, bro. But there was just some verses that come out I'd never heard. I thought, wow, this is great. I need to learn that. I'm not all that, but God is all that. And when I'm weak, when I realize I don't have all that, that's the time when God can make me strong. And God can make you strong, no matter whether you're a younger person, an older person, a man or a woman. There can be powerful women. It's not all about men. God uses everybody if they just understand it's not about you, but it's about God. And all you got to do is remember you have a powerful God, a powerful master. It's because of him. You already have at your disposal a powerful message. You don't have to know everything. As long as you can read a verse. Now, technology these days gives us a lot of answers. If you need verse on something, you don't even have to type. You just speak into your phone and it tells you where the verse is if you really need it. But you have a powerful message. You've got a powerful mission. Just start loving people the way Jesus loves you. You already know how to do that because Jesus has done it for you. It's not something you have to, I don't know how to love others. Just think about what Jesus did for you. And then, okay, if he did that for me, I can do that for them. Have the right mindset. And then just trust God. God will enable you to do all that he wants you to do. Right, Brother Pete. wherever you are, over there, we are ready. Thank you.
All right, let's stand. We're going to sing a closing song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's sing one verse of this song together.
Holy, holy, holy.